Barnes FM podcast. My name is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to A Conversation with Pastor Dave.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots. So just a quick reminder that Mike Lindell is continuing to press forward with his fight against America, and he was pretty handily torqued by somebody. If you read the article in Gateway Pundit, he talks about what happened to him. Sounds like just a bunch of thugs, but he came out okay. We need to continue to support him in every way we can, because he's literally funding this revolution single-handedly, or so it seems. And in so doing, he's doing it through pillows, sheets, slippers, comforters, the whole thing, which are also great products. So you can go to mypillow.com. You can use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, or you can go to frankspeech.com and use the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. There's a ton of great savings. Use that, spread it around. Every time you help them, they help us. It's a wonderful thing. So again, BARDS is your promo code. Go to mypillow.com or go to frankspeech.com. And you get all sorts of a great savings. So it happens when you have a brain pause, you do stupid things. Anyway, also, you have the 800 number, 800-975-2939. So there you go. All right, Patriots, now, some other great, exciting news. If you go to bardsfest.com or bardsfm.com right now, you're going to discover something. What is it? That we have everything reconfigured on the bardsfest.com site so that now that you can either donate or you can put a donation in to get actual tickets for the event. So we've made it very easy. So if you're attending the event and you'd like to donate, then you donate right there and you click the donate button and it takes you in. And we've requested a minimum of a $5 donation for tickets. If you're going to attend, you can buy up to 7 tickets per transaction, okay? On the other side, if you want to just donate because you're not going to be at the event and you would like to support other patriots, and we also have tickets available for anybody who can't afford one. We've said that all along. You can donate there as well. So there's 2 really clear buttons, easy pathways, really easy to follow. We're updating the schedule of the events right now. It's pretty amazing. So it's what you will end up with is if you donate, you'll get, once you do your checkout, you will get an email sent to you with 2 emails. One will be the confirmation of your donation, and the other will be the confirmation of your tickets. And you'll have your tickets, and they're tickets you can print out with a QR code. And then you can either keep those on your phone or you bring them to the event, and we'll scan them when you come in. Really simple. We just created our own ticket site. Now, today, there was an announcement made, which probably some people freaked out on, and we're pushing out an email tonight. But Ticketmaster announced that the event of BardsFest is canceled. It is not canceled. The event at the Family Arena we canceled because we're consolidating over to where we have the big indoor and outdoor space. So that's what happened. So if you got that email, breathe. It's all good. Breathe. It's all good. Go on over to bardsfest.com, and you'll see that the event is very much happening. It's getting bigger and better every day. By the way, we signed on Coffee Anderson as our opening performer for the first night, so it's going to be fantastic. We're going to blow 300 shofars, and then Coffee Anderson is going to come out and play. So that's going to be great. Just remember, this event is going forward, period. So we've said that all along. We're getting a Ferris wheel in there, 90-foot Ferris wheels coming in. We got that locked in today. All sorts of great things that are happening. So we're looking for your support as much as we can. This is a This is a people's funded revival is what it has become. And it's a fantastic thing. So, and the outpouring of support for this is humbling. So thank you, Patriots, for all that you're doing and all that you continue to do. It's truly, truly humbling. But again, you can go to barsfest.com. It's a very clear way of working now. And for those of you that have donated, and I've noticed some come in today that you made a donation and said, you know, this is for a ticket. We're going to send you a ticket. So don't worry about that. Not even an issue. But we're just catching up now. So we're sending out our emails tonight and then to get everybody directed over there so people don't panic and lose their mind and start going, oh, no, it's all over. The sky is falling. It's not. We don't do sky is falling here. But you'll see that. And you're going to be, if you're on the mailing list, you're going to be getting an email from us every day until BardsFest. I'm just giving you a heads up. So if you're interested in seeing the email, you might want to also check your spam folder because it might end up there. Just because that's how email seems to work these days. So there you go, barsfest.com. Your donations are more than welcome. You can set up your donation for tickets or you can set up your donation just for the event. And we're greatly appreciative of everything that's coming in, and it is truly humbling. So tonight, Patriots, I have Pastor Dave with us. And Pastor Dave is from His Glory. It's a really good interview. I think you're going to enjoy it. He's going to be speaking at BardsFest as well. And I just think it's a solid, he's a Marine and has a really solid view on things. And it's a good, great, solid interview to hear. So he's a great guy. Looking forward to seeing him in person at BardsFest. So without further ado, let me introduce you to Pastor Dave. Well, Patriots, I'm so honored today to have Pastor Dave from His Glory on. Pastor Dave's going to also be at BardsFest, another great honor. And so, Pastor Dave, welcome to the show. I'm just going to let you kind of introduce yourself to the audience and tell us a little bit about what His Glory is about and who you are.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. We're very excited about the Lord moving in St. Charles, Missouri, this BardsFest. It's going to be an incredible movement of the Lord. A little bit about His Glory. The Lord pulled me out of being a Marine in the corporate world with two near-death experiences. I saw a vision of heaven and a vision of Jesus. And long story short, He put me in the ministry, and He named it His Glory for His purpose and His glory. And that's where we've been. We reach about 20 million people worldwide, literally in every country of the world. We're moving towards a 24/7 TV and radio network that will reach literally every creature in the world.
Wow, that's amazing. And I think it's such a timely event. There's so much fragmentation going on within the Christian movement. And it's kind of stunning to me because it really shouldn't be if we're tied so close to God. And yet I think that my observation, and I just want you to comment on this, is it seems to be fear has settled in so deeply, and so many have lost their relationship in that fearless walk with Christ.
Yeah, never once does the Bible tell us to fear. The only fear in the Bible is the fear of the Lord. That's not, it's not being obedient to His precepts and commandments. One thing that's happening in this 2020 is separating the wheat from the tare. We're seeing the conforming church versus the remnant church. Many people have said, you know, looked at remnant that love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, their soul, and their mind. They don't have that sense of fear. And the world has this sense of fear, and they're looking, what do you have? And what do you know that we don't know? And that is the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart, that relationship with Him. And when you have that relationship, yeah, times get tough, but you know He has it. He is a conqueror, and He overcame. And we can overcome through Him, in Him, and with Him.
Oh, that's so well said and so true. Let me ask you, Pastor, when we are looking at this inculcation of fear and this fear that's settled into so many people's hearts, where do you see the way through that when you're talking to people or when we're engaging people? Because there's so much resistance to wanting to hear the truth or even the Word of God.
Yeah, the only way is through the Word of God. You have to, you know, people always ask, how do I get a relationship with Jesus Christ? You got to get on your knees. You got to repent. You got to ask for forgiveness. You got to meet Him where on His terms. His terms is He is the living Word. To get to know somebody, we need to be intimate. We need to be able to communicate in their language. And He is He is the Word of God, and that's where it starts, and that's where we're in trouble in the United States with the church and where we are as a country. Only 10% of the people, Christians, read their Bible. That right there is the problem. We need to get in the Word.
In some prayer the other day, something was just kind of settled in on me, and I'm going to share it with you and ask for your thoughts on this. There's a lot that have been pushing for this idea that we're in a point of the end of Revelation, and I push back on that for a number of reasons, because for one, it's said that only Father will know the time and the place. And I also feel strongly that when we spend our time trying to add up and line up the events, we're not doing our job in this world to be ministers of Christ. So my feeling right now is we're sitting at this precipice of the book of Habakkuk versus Esther. And that split right there is one that we have to decide. What are your thoughts?
I agree with that. You know, I've heard the term so many times in the last 2 months, for such a time as this. And that goes back to Esther. Esther had to have that moment for such a time as this. Esther was called to save the nation, the Jewish people. And that's where we're at right now, not only for the United States of America, but for as America being a beacon of hope and a beacon of light for the rest of the world. We are that shining star. God is not done with this Eagle Covenant nation. This is a time where it's going to take strength to reach him, to seek him with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. And we know we have a big revival left. And that's why the St. Charles, Missouri is such a big event. The Spirit of the Lord is going to come out. Like you said, we are not in the book of Revelation yet. This is a foreshadowing of what's to come, but we haven't had that Joel 2 movement completely. And that's where we're at. We're on the precipice of the Joel 2, Acts 2 movement, the day of the Lord. And that is the outpouring, the gifts, and embracing the Holy Spirit and having the Holy Spirit reach the entire world in the name of Jesus Christ. That's how we know, because our God is a loving God, and he wants to give everyone one more chance to know who he is and have a walk and a love relationship with him. And that's what it's all about. If you're doing religion in a religious type of atmosphere, you're doing it wrong, because it's always been about love and meeting Jesus in your heart and being filled with the Holy Spirit.
In Numbers 21, and I did a show on this last night, we speak of the serpent, when Moses set up the bronze serpent to cure the snakes of fire, the fiery serpents that were biting people. And I find this just a very interesting passage, because the venom of the snake is a protein, very much like the spike protein that we are dealing with today. And there is this moment when, by simply looking to that symbol that God had Moses built, that they were cured. And it seems so prophetic for where we are now, that we are literally in a point where all we have to do is turn and look to Christ and to live. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that verse of the Bible that you're referring to, that was a foreshadowing of Christ overcoming sin. That was a foreshadowing that only the healing can come through Jesus Christ. And that is the truth. There is no way out of this, what we've been in, without the supernatural healing and without Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Father.
As a Marine, and I would never say former Marine, but as a Marine, my uncle was a Marine, and I am very proud to have that in as him, because he never stopped being a Marine. But there is a ferocity in that training. There's a rigidness in discipline that I have so much respect for. And it is also, but it's also that fierceness of the warfighter. And here you are now as a Marine, speaking as a minister, but with such strength. How do you translate that message of the power of God and glory and grace and love as strong as those that are wrapped around the idea of the gun and the bullet and the sword?
Well, the Marine Corps' motto is Semper Fidelis. It's meaning always faithful. And that applies to our Commander-in-Chief, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the same principles apply. You know, life is about boot camp. We go through phases of three stages of boot camp when you become a Marine. You go through the building, the breaking down, and that's where the Lord is breaking us down. And then you have the second phase, which we call wilderness, the making of a Marine. That ties in our Christian walk too, the making, the trials and tribulations of our life, making us into a vessel of clay that we can be used for his purpose and his glory. And then the third phase is called the glorification phase in the Marines. And they take a sword and they sharpen it and they put the gloss over it. And that's the two-way sword of the word of God through Jesus, the glorification. So you have to go through the trials. You have to be tested in the fire. And you have to be ready, like David did, to get up and fight in the name of the Lord. It's a spiritual battle, but it's also a physical battle that we must take a step forward. We cannot sit back and just watch from the mezzanine. We have to take massive action for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and for this great republic, the United States of America.
So much of the modern church has taught this passivity, which is, I personally refer to it as marshmallow pew sitters,
yep.
Where we literally, you sit and you absorb in and you do your Sunday thing and you go back and do whatever you're doing in the week. And then you come back on Sunday and you kind of get re-cleaned or whatever you want to say. And there's the lack of intensity that the Jericho, the David, even the Moses that boldly challenges the Pharaoh. It's that we see that throughout. We see it throughout the Bible, even Christ in flipping tables. How do you translate that message of that fierce warrior and yet that compassionate, loving, and graceful warrior? How do you bring that message?
That message is actually happening right before our very eyes. The Lord is opening up this door. He's separating the church right now. This is a great mechanism in the last 18 months with this COVID-19. It's truly letting the cream rise to the top for his remnant. There is a conforming church who have conformed to the world standards and their doctrine, their own man-made doctrine, instead of the truth of the living God and the love and the entire literal word of the Lord, versus a remnant. That remnant is rising and growing faster and faster and faster. And that's what you're going to see in St. Louis, I believe. You're going to see a remnant that's just going to spread with the fire of the Lord, the fire of the Holy Spirit, because they are going to move away from this conforming that is not of God, and it's of man-made doctrine instead of the living word of God, which is our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you're seeing more people, as I mentioned earlier, people are looking at this remnant today and saying, why are you not fearful? Because we know Jesus already won the battle. He's already declared victory on Calvary. The only question is left for you in this world, are you going to pick Team Jesus? And if you pick Team Jesus, you need to be all in for his purpose and his glory. This is the last of the church age. This is Laodicea. As Jesus says, you're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. There is no middle ground anymore. You're either all in or you're out.
I've been talking recently about the idea that as we are not in of this world, we are operating like special missions units in this world. Obviously, it comes from my work within the realms of DOD and special operations that I did. But it seems to be relevant because this remnant church that you're speaking of has a bold mission. It is a mission, in my opinion, to find those remnant, to find God's remnant, to bring them home, and to do everything we can to awaken the many to find the light and come back. What are your thoughts?
I agree, absolutely. And we're experiencing that with our ministry, or his ministry called it by his name, his glory. We're seeing patriots come into this ministry in record numbers. They don't know about Jesus, and they're becoming Christians. And we are seeing Christians who love Jesus but don't know how to be patriots. And they're converging on each other, and they're bonding in one unison force to form a remnant that is going to be the majority, in my opinion, very soon.
You and I both run a platform that builds a ministry. I would say God has built a ministry, to be appropriate, because this is all God's work before us each. That is reliant on the internet. It's a very unique time where we're speaking words and people, as you say, are coming. And it's God's voice and God's words that they're coming to. What are you telling your people in the event that they try to cut that tether, they try to sever that relationship through our internet connection with these? Because there's a lot of fellowship that's happening in a very unique way in these digital spaces.
Well, I think it's a several fold. One, we at His Glory, because of censorship, the Lord has had us go out and build our own mini YouTube. We have we're launching in 3 hours. It will be our own servers, our own security, and the top-notch security that you could possibly get, because we can't rely on the media giants, because they're censoring us, they're pulling us, they're deplatforming us. So we have to build our own network. We're also at the same time building small groups of people across the country. They'll be able to go into a search function and find like-minded patriots and Christians in their particular area so that they can form home groups in that particular area. And heaven forbid, if the internet goes down nationwide for a period of time, they'll have that bondage of Christians and patriots to get together in those local areas to pray and to help each other in each of their communities until the lights go back on, which the Lord will provide the light.
There's this thing that's said in war, which I know you've heard. No, there is no atheist in a foxhole. And it seems like now that so many have been thrown into the foxhole. The question is, are they going to find what they seek? How do you see us shaping that outcome?
Well, that's a great analogy, because we are in a foxhole right now, and we have to fight. If we take a step back as a country, it's over. We are at a precipice. And the Lord is going to deliver us, but we must take action. And that's the key. Are you ready to fight and do the good fight? And why are we any different? You know, what makes the Church of America or the Christians today, anywhere in the world, any different than the time that Christ walked the face of the earth? His disciples were persecuted for his namesake. He told us we were going to get persecuted. But he said, you know what? I've overcome the world, and we can overcome the world through him and be of the world. So we have to have that faith. We have to keep our eyes on him. As it says in scripture, do not look to the left, do not look to the right. Keep your eyes focused on me and what that mission is. And whatever that will God has given you for your life, execute that. As Paul said, finish the race for his purpose and his glory.
So one of the challenges that I think people struggle with, and I'll frame it first in a constitutional framework, which is First Amendment, Second Amendment, and where is that line? In a scriptural sense, it reminds me a lot of the garden when it was said, we need to sell a cloak to buy a sword. And Christ's response was, we only need two. There's a fine balance between the sword of the Spirit and when that sword of steel comes out. We see that always within scripture. How do you describe those lines between?
Well, sometimes those lines become, you know, you never thought in our history that those lines would become true. And it can be both. If we have to go to battle for this great nation, if we have to go to battle for Jesus Christ's namesake, we're going to have to do that. And obviously in the spiritual realm, but if it goes to a physical realm, a new 1776, that's what this country has to do.
I agree. This is a very challenging time. COVID has managed to divide us in an unprecedented way, in my optic, and you've already hit on it quite a bit. It has really divided those between true faith in Christ, to where our eyes were on Christ, versus those that have had either a lukewarm relationship with Christ or no relationship at all. There is a comment that I make regularly, not necessarily to the popularity of people, but is that those that have walked into that place of taking the injection have chosen a path of salvation through a needle. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, it's so true. You know, Dr. Tenpenny, we had an interview with her in Anaheim to the last event, and she said, the question was asked, how do we fix this after you've taken the jab? She says, there's no way out other than Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, that is the truth. Yeah, there might be some medical, but Jesus is our great healer. And to hear these churches and hear these pastors conform to society and have their congregation and openly say, in some cases, Jesus would take the vaccine. You just pull your hair out and you say, if you're in a church like that, you better run very quickly, because they're teaching you the wrong thing. Jesus is the overcomer. He is the Son of God. He is our King of Kings and Lord of Hosts. He is the great healer. He brought Lazarus back from the dead. He would never take a vaccine that has not been proven. And to mischaracterize Jesus is blasphemy.
I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly how I feel. It is, in fact, I find it to be, if you're going to sit and listen to that, you're complicit in the blasphemy. I tend to be a little hard on these lines, but it's one of these things that when I look at David standing up to the Philistine or Goliath, and he openly says that he's standing in that gap for God, speaking out in defense of God. That boldness is something we seem to have lost. He's not waiting for God to speak for him. He's letting God speak through him as David, though, reminding the Philistine that you will not defile my God. In fact, he will deliver your head to me. We're lacking that. And that fire is what we seem to, to me, that fire is what we have to reclaim.
Absolutely. And another part of that is David took, that's a great analogy, because David took massive action. He knew that Goliath was blaspheming the Most High God, and that's why David took the action. David knew God had it, but David took the action. He took five stones because he knew Goliath had four other brothers. And David practiced his entire life on how to fling a slingshot. So David was prepared, and he took action. And most importantly, he knew his God was going to deliver it. That's the three things we need to do in order. Trust the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. Be prepared, get ready, and take massive action.
Well, this also reminds me of Nehemiah 4, where we're seeing the reference to the builders of the wall and how we have the watchers. But the critical part to that story for me is how the reference, and I'm going to generalize across all the whole group of Christians, but is that the reference to one hand building and one hand on the hilt of the sword. That seems to be a place where we're at now, that God has given us our gifts and talents that we are to use, but that we have seemed to have forgotten that we have always been at war against an evil.
That's right. It's so true. I mean, nothing has changed since the fall of Satan. There's been a antichrist brewing by Satan every step of the way. We're not there yet at the true end day, lawless one or antichrist, but he's always raised up this satanic battle between light and dark. And that's where we're hitting the precipice. Satan is trying to move up God's timeline, and we must stand in the gap for God's purpose, because it is a Nehemiah moment. And it is also a moment in 1776 with a Black Robe Regiment. They were preaching from the pulpit and then had a musket in their hand at the same time, going in to fight for this great republic, if we can keep it, as it was famously said.
Absolutely. One of the great quotes, in fact, from the Black Robe Regiment was, "Give 'em hymns, boys, give 'em hymns." When one of the pastors went back to the church, or sent a runner back to the church because they'd run out of wadding for their muskets. And because paper was of cotton that day, they took the hymn books from the church to use as wadding for their muskets. It's a glorious statement, and I agree with you. And that is, I think, where we as a public have witnessed a tragedy, to see how deeply corrupted the churches have become and lost their way, that will to step across that line from the pulpit to that on the front line to lead the people. I put a lot of this to the sellout of the 501c3 church. I'd welcome your thoughts on that.
Well, yeah, there's, you know, 501c3. We are a 501c3, and we're a 508, and we're working to be a nonprofit trust. But the 501c3, what you're talking about in general, the majority of 501c3s are based on a doctrine of man. And those doctrines are connected to the 501c3 structure. And they're afraid to go out against the doctrine of man. And they're afraid to go out and speak the truth of against the IRS. And we're not supposed to. We're supposed to go out and follow lawful orders. As a Marine, you're called to follow lawful orders of our Constitution. And our true Constitution is the Word of God. And we have to follow the Word of God, no matter what your tax structure is, whether you're a 501c3, 508, whatever it is, it's God first. And we have to be bold in that.
We are in a period of time when this injection is being pressured. Increasingly, it's not being mandated in a true sense, because they're not going to force it. In fact, even some of it's strange, because even the discussions which were just brought out today of these new internment camps, green zones, they call them, that the CDC is advocating, which is nothing more than a prison camp for those that don't comply to their rules. But they're not forcing the injection. And I find this to be very critical in the relationship of the spiritual war versus the physical, that our free will, ultimately how we choose, ultimately is the winning or losing of that battle. What are your thoughts?
I wholeheartedly agree. This is setting the stage for the end time mark of the beast. It's not here yet, but this is a foreshadowing of what can happen. How quick people are folding instead of standing up for truth and saying no. I'm not going to conform. And that's exactly what it is, to conform through fear. instead of standing up and saying no. Because if you conform and everybody conforms, this republic is over. We're at a precipice. I said this before, but this next few weeks is everything for this country. And if we don't stand back and as a republic say no and fight, it's over.
I so agree. And I've said that even recently. I made this plea last week that, and I guess a plea is not the right term, but the discussion, how this is the month. We're in the fourth quarter. And we're in the fourth quarter and down to not quite 2 minutes, but we're there pretty quick. And if we don't start getting it together, we're not going to come back. As a Marine, you have spoken, you're speaking of a very powerful platform, and I know that you have other of your brethren in the Marine Corps listening to you. I also know that I have some Marine friends that have made some very unusual choices in this point in time. I'll just leave it at that. What are you saying to them to remind them of their commitment of, especially in this time when duty often is confused with duty and obedience to immediate leadership rather than duty and obedience to the Constitution and to God. And that's a very complicated thing, especially for a young soldier, an E1, E2, E3. What are you telling them? Because they're being told now that you're going to take this injection or else. What are your thoughts?
Well, we had General Valley and General McInerney on the end of last week. They're going to be coming out once a month. General Flynn will be coming out once a month as well. Same thing. When we are a Marine, you're sworn to the Constitution of the United States to follow what we call our general orders. They have to be lawful orders. No matter if you're a four-star general or you're the President of the United States, if you give an unlawful order that violates your general orders and the Constitution, you are not to follow that.
I think that is just as simple as it gets. Unfortunately, that's a very difficult place, as we both know, for a young private or a junior NCO. And that takes a great deal of strength. It goes back really to almost the Vietnam era, where we saw the squad leader becoming such a critical component, even in World War II, for that matter. But the squad leader was such a critical component in our military. And as we know today, as it has become politicized, the squad leader has been diminished, or at least they've tried to. But for me, that critical point of saving our military is ultimately going to rest on that squad leader, that E4, and once in a while, E5. What are your thoughts?
I agree. Yeah, the E4, the E5 are the absolute, they're the key mechanism behind everything in the Marine Corps. Everything gets through that. But this, again, goes back to follow what we were sworn in as military. And this is not just the Marines. Every single person who serves this great country, we're sworn into the Constitution of the United States. And every time you go through boot camp, every single person is taught, follow your general orders and the Constitution of the United States, not a man or a woman. So we have been prepared. We have trained our troops the right way. We just have to execute on that. And sometimes it may take a David moment inside an E4 or E5 that says, you know what, I'm not going to do it. And go through the court systems inside the military and pray that there will be judges inside the military that are going to come in and say, absolutely no, this E4, this E5, or whatever their grade is, they stood up for their general orders. They're doing exactly what we trained them to be and to do, follow the Constitution of the United States of America.
Well, I think that gets back to the point we both have discussed here already, which is that point of when you put your life to Christ and you have no fear, you have to set aside the consequences, the fear of consequences, and instead walk that path that God puts you on and trust in Him no matter where it leads. Your thoughts?
Exactly. It's absolutely. They go hand in hand. You, as a Marine or any military person for that matter, once you sign those papers, you're now under the Constitution of the United States as long as you live. But that may put you in harm's way. That means putting your life on the line for your country. And that's life and death. And the same thing applies with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We got to give Him our heart, our soul, and our mind, because our home is not here. Our home is in eternity. But we have a work to do, a will to do while we're here. And the last thing you want to do is get to heaven. Get there by the skin of your teeth and you not follow everything the Lord wanted you to do. This is a time, as again, an Esther moment. For such a time as this, what are you going to do? You can't stay neutral. You either all in or you're all out. There is no middle ground in Jesus' name and at this great republic. Will you stand?
That's going to be the big question for not just our military, but for people as a whole to really understand what that means. And I know that there's a lot of people out here that are afraid to step into this place without the military with them. Part of this has been this sort of programming and acceptance that somehow patriots have been in control. There's been a lot of this discussion that, and I would call it a bit of a, it's a lot of hopium that's been put into this movement as they awaken the public to the realities of what's been going on. And yet, if we look at where we currently sit, and there's a theory floating around right now called devolution, which is basically continuity of government, which I think you and I could both agree that something of that effect is in play. But in this continuity of government model, you don't go to that place if you're winning. You go to that place because whatever has overwhelmed you, you're stepping back into a place to create a new defensive posture and then to make a bold attack, counterattack, to either take it or lose it all. What are your thoughts?
I agree. I think one of the key point that you said is, you know, this the military's in control. The military's in control. Well, the problem with taking that mindset, the military's in control, it puts us in a relaxed situation, thinking, okay, no matter what happens, the military's got it. There's nothing I have to do. And even if that were 100% true, you can't sit back. This is one of those moments that you got to act like you're 2 touchdowns behind going into the fourth quarter with 3 minutes to go. You got to have that sense of urgency, because if everybody just sits back and says, well, somebody else has got it, and then nobody has it, we've lost this great republic.
It is an experiment. And I think one of the most unique things about it, when we really understand our history, is regardless of what is said about our founding fathers being part of Masonic orders or whatnot, the fact is that the way the Declaration of Independence establishes the foundation of our nation is God is put above all things. And that our rights, our inalienable rights, are given to us by Him, nobody else, and they cannot be taken away unless we give them away. Also, instructional in all of that, that we seem to always forget, that it isn't just our right, but as citizens of this republic, it is our duty, the word used, duty, to throw off such a government that violates that structure, where it is God, people, and government subordinate to the people. What are your thoughts in helping people realize that truth and what it will take to reset it and to literally be able to step past this idea where if we just pray, everything's going to be okay, God's going to handle it, versus what we've been talking about, of where it's like we have to stand in the gap and we have to do the work so that God can work through us?
Yeah, absolutely. This is that moment in time. You mentioned Nehemiah. We mentioned the Black Robe Regiment. We mentioned King David before he was actually a king. Taking steps, taking action, preparing for the moment as this, and we have to get back to this. We become, as a country, too lackadaisical. We, as a church, have become too conformed, and that's why we're in this mess. We have to get this back, and that includes taking massive action, getting massive action on the local level. These mama bears, honestly, are showing more. Showing more bravery than many men out there. It's time for the men to step up and protect this country and be the spiritual leaders of their household and stand in the gap for this great country. The mama bears are coming forward, but it's time for the men to rise too. And let's get that wave going, because when they try to shut us down, 60% in a local area come out and say, not on my watch. I've had enough of it. It's been defeated. But if only a handful stand up, and everybody else watches, and they push him back into even deeper depths than we've already been, it's over. The question is, what will you take the stand when this happens?
So true. This is one of the things that has puzzled me, which you just mentioned. I have a lot of theories, and I think some of them have to do around the idol worship of guns versus the functionality of the Second Amendment. But it is an amazing thing to witness how few men proportionally have taken a stand and how many women have taken the lead here. What are your thoughts on that in this day and age?
Well, I think it's twofold. It's our society. It's been done by the evil cabal from within. They weaken the male. They allow you to be any gender you want, and teaching our young kids at this. So you have two generations now that started in the 70s with the nuclear family being attacked and the abortion issue. And then men becoming weaker and weaker and weaker. Are they even doing it in our military? I saw an article this weekend from one of my generals, how they're trying to bring down the standards of training in the United States Marine Corps. of all people, you want to take down the training. It shouldn't be the Marines. And that's what our society has done to us, to weaken the male. And you're seeing the mama bears rise. But now it's time, for such a time as this, the male have to say, no more. I am not on my watch. I'm called for a time as this. And they need to step up. If you're listening, step up now.
In the ranks of our military, as we've also seen in ranks of law enforcement, we've witnessed leadership bow to this fear of COVID and then get swept up in this neurosis of this COVID fascism, medical fascism, or medical tyranny. It's easy from the outside to claim that these people have been corrupted, or I should say bought off or owned. I'm not sure that's entirely the case, especially when we get into our military. But in the conversations that I've had with senior DOD people in the last month or so, it's stunning to me the disconnect between where they sit and what's actually happening on the ground. Are you experiencing the same thing, and how are you communicating through that?
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of positive come out of that. I would say 2 months ago, I saw a tremendous amount of that. And I think it's because you're in a bubble. Once you're in a bubble, you're not seeing what's going around, especially in the military. When you're called into your unit, you're in a bubble. You're focused on your mission or whatever your job is in the military. But I'm seeing that expand out. I'm seeing it with the generals. I'm seeing more military people and parents asking questions to programs to say, well, what does my son do if they try to make them take the jab? So I see a light starting to happen throughout our military.
I hope it spreads. It's amazing to me. And I will tell you, that's the last place I expected it to settle in, and yet it's understandable because of, again, that convolution between duty to a commander and duty to their actual oath. It's a difficult time. Pastor Dave, talk a little bit about your goals with your platform and where you see your role in here in this weeks and a few months ahead. And this is a very critical time, and we are all trying to find that path that God's laid upon us to use our ministries to make people, to get people to stand up, to hear his word. Where do you see that growing for you, and where are you focused in these coming weeks?
Well, the focus here at His Glory has been to make sure that we are every country of the world, that we have security on our own platforms with our own servers, because the Lord has a huge plan, not about me. It has nothing to do with Pastor Dave. I am the least likely of anybody to be used for this purpose, for his purpose and his glory. It's all about the name of this ministry. It's his glory. And it's to reach the entire world to know who Jesus Christ is in these end days. That's why I know our Lord and Savior has one more shot for a great, great revival. But we have to stand in, we have to lean in, and we have to do everything we can to support him. Every day I wake up, it's about going to battle for his purpose and his glory. Whatever he tells me to do, I do it. It's reporting to my commander in chief every single day.
That's well said. So we're excited to have you at Bard's Fest. It's going to be an amazing event. I truly know that the Lord is bringing people there, and we're very honored to have you there as well. Talk a little bit about your thoughts on that. You've hit on it a bit here in the show, and I'd just like to get your feelings and sentiments around what this event, how you see this event, and as we've discussed it, how you see it growing and the importance of it in this time.
Yeah, there's never been a more important time to have this event, and there's no question in my mind that the Spirit of the Lord is going to be moving. So if you have not made plans to check out St. Charles, please do this, because I believe that without a doubt, this is going to be the Spirit of the Lord moving, not just in a normal setting of speakers, but families. And that's the key. We got to get the youth. It's the Joel 2 movement. We have to get the maidservants and the sons and daughters to prophesy, as it says in the end days, before this great, great revival before us. And this is an event. This is an event that people need to go to feel the Spirit of the Lord. Well, when we go to these revivals all over the country, there's people that will watch us from a platform, and they don't know Jesus Christ, but they feel something. They feel the Spirit, and they come over here. And what is this? I want to be a part of this. We baptized 12 people, and they accepted Jesus Christ in Clearwater Beach right off the pier because they felt the Spirit of the Lord moving and they gave themselves to Christ and were baptized on the spot. I see that happening in St. Charles in a huge, huge, huge way. And this is just the beginning for this light and this fire to go all over the world.
Well, it's something that struck me last night in the show, and it was part of a conversation I had with another pastor yesterday. But it's very interesting that God speaks through our heart. It's interesting how many hearts are being damaged by this injection with the mRNA. It is equally interesting how when the cabal, the World Economic Forum, always shows off their new medical technology, that they always show the 3D printing of a heart. And equally important that the event is in the heart of the nation, in the Show Me State. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, as the rabbis say, coincidence is not a kosher word. It's for such a time as this. Everything is aligning up. Yes, it looks dark. It looks very dark. But in the darkest the darkest before light. And light wins. Light overcomes the dark. And again, we are not called to the spirit of fear. We are called to the spirit of the Lord, and he is light. As Jesus said, if you are the light of the world, you do not put it under a lampstand. You don't put it under a bushel. You shine that light of Christ no matter what the consequences are. You stand up in, because our home is not here. Our home is on the high, but we must battle each day until he takes us home.
That's beautiful. How do patriots find your site, your locations, and how do they support you?
We can be found at www.hisglory.me and www.hisglory.tv. That was our new secured site with all our 24/7 TV shows on that. And then we're on all social media, all different social media platforms. But our main site is www.hisglory.me, and we're going to be putting all our content there and Liftable TV because of censorship. We have to go behind a wall, a server, to protect God's word.
Pastor Dave, we always close with a prayer, and I'm going to ask today if you don't mind leading that prayer.
I'd love to. Heavenly Father, we just ask you to come down and touch each and every one of the listeners that are listening, not only throughout the United States, but all over the world. We ask you to touch them in the heart. This is the time. This is the Esther moment. For such a time as this, what will you do? Will you accept the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, and repent and have that love relationship with him? And then ask the second question, what is it that you want me to do, Lord, for my will until I finish? It's not about being the next Apple iPhone. It's about what do I do for you that matters. And we ask each and every one of you to pray that prayer and seek him with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, because for such a time as this, he's called each and every one of you. Don't think you can't do it. He's called the Davids. He's called every single person listening for such a time as this. And there's something he can and will do as long as you reach him with all your heart, your soul, and mind. Because everything we do is for his kingdom glory. Everything we do is to glorify his name. But we have to take massive action. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Amen in Jesus' name. Thank you. What a beautiful prayer. And I so agree. That is, everyone is here for a purpose. If they just reach to God and let him work through them, it's amazing.
Amen.
Any last thoughts, Pastor?
It's time. Buckle up. It's time. Get the word of God. Buckle up. Stand in. Lean in. It's time to go to work for his purpose and his glory.
So true. And I so agree. Well, I want to tell you what an honor it was to have you on the show today. And I look forward to, you know, again, having you at Bard's Fest and meeting you and shaking your hand and fighting this fight side by side. This is a great time to be alive.
It sure is. And we're in the foxhole together. God bless you, my friend.
God bless you, Pastor Dave. Have a very blessed day, and we'll see you soon.
All right. Take care. God bless.
So, Patriots, that was Pastor Dave. And it's time, as he said. It's time. You've got to get yourself right with God. You've got to get yourself right with Jesus. There's no messing around. You know, what's interesting tonight is I was over on George News Chat, which I like to pop in once in a while to say hello over there. And I put up the words, keep eyes on Christ. And I always love it when George responds, because they did tonight. And they said, yes, everybody, keep eyes on Christ. We're all getting this. This is a spiritual war. It's a war that's been waging for eons. And it's a war that we are now coming to a head with. And we have to keep our eyes on Christ. So where do you begin? On your knees, asking for forgiveness, seeking salvation. And from there, we fight. So Patriots, hope you enjoyed that interview. I think Pastor Dave is just another one of the great voices of our time. He's going to be at Bardsfest. Now remember, a couple things has come up, but Bardsfest is in one consolidated location now. When we did this interview, that transition hadn't occurred, but we're all now in St. Louis County, and we're at the Drive-In St. Louis Powerplex. That address, all of that is on the website, and we're going to be adding more and more information on about that over the weekend. Now, we've been kind of running as a flurry while you guys were listening to the interview. The donate button on the Bardsfest site is having some problems. It's the code somewhere in there got corrupted, so we're working on that. However, if you want to donate, the donate button on the front page, Bards FM front page, and the donate button on the donate page, which are all on the same website, they work just fine. So don't get frustrated. It's a little bit of a technical error. This usually happens when you do kind of a big update. And we did test it a lot today. In fact, I just got an email from our web designer, and he's putting another button on the page right now. So it'll work. So it'll be back and running off of the Bardsfest page here very shortly. So, tell you, there's nothing like having all these panic moments when you're running around. What can I say? But what else would life be if you didn't have a sky is falling moment, right? Last thing, just to let you know, and we'll talk more about it tonight, but the deep state's ramping up their another round of fear. This time, since the COVID seems to be falling apart, you guessed it. If you didn't guess it, guess what it is? Aliens are coming. You got it. UFOs are going to be the next one on the docket, so buckle up. All right, Patriots, have a blessed night. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. I'll tell you, this is a crazy one. It's always a war for our mind and what they can do to try to cause fear within us. It's crazy. Keep your prayers going. Our prayers are more important than anything we can possibly imagine. They are redefining this world. They are reshaping this world. And they're keeping this armor around us, which is allowing this world to go insane while we're protected. Don't underrate prayer. Focus on prayer. If you get angry, get frustrated, pass it off to God. Pray to him and let him unleash that burden. Let Christ heal those places in your heart. This is so important. These are things that we were told and have been told over and over to do. Let us not forget that, because God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God will always win. So Patriots, I'll see you this evening for Fishers of Men. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push, we climb, we never give in, we become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray, we stand, we live by the words, in God we trust, we fear nothing, we are the light. It can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.